You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Eurythmy Therapy, Collected Works, Volume 315, translated by Alan Stott. This is Lecture 4, given in Dornach on the 15th of April, 1921. My dear friends, as we have seen, the vowels in eurythmy always work more or less directly on the rhythmic organism. With the consonantal eurythmical movements, the case is that, although the rhythmic system is of course also affected, this is accomplished by way of the system of the metabolism and limbs. Naturally, the first thing we have to do today is simply to take a look at the details. Here one can arrive at a contemplative picture of what is involved only when one can enter into the details. We will now go through the most important consonantal movements in eurythmy. Perhaps you would do a B for us, Fräulein Wolfram, and now this B in walking as well. Try to walk in such a manner, however, that one leg imitates the motion of the arm while moving, but repeat the B. Now, imagine that done ever more quickly and repeated, initially, let's say, for 4 to 5 minutes. Perhaps Frau Baumann will now do the P for us in the same manner. The difference is not very great. Now, attempt to do this with the legs as well. That brings about a complicated leg movement, which is very similar to the movements of music eurythmy, not stepping down in between. That must now be repeated frequently and in series by the person with whom you hope to accomplish something by means of the P. Now, all the movements that are connected with the eurythmical consonants have to do with that which, in the process of digestion, lies on the other side of the activities of the stomach and intestine. We will now ignore the actual intestinal space through which the food passes. When we consider the outer wall of the intestine, however, where the chyme passes through the intestinal villi and so on, and then into the blood and the lymph, thus from the other side of that comprised in the first digestive activity, the movement such as we have just made works back on the inward digestion, on all that is digestive activity in the blood vessels, and in particular on what is digestive activity in the kidneys. If you are concerned with regulating the activity of the kidneys, you should have such movements carried out. Precisely the movements that we have just done, B and P, are those that work preeminently in the regulation of renal activity, for example, in regulating the elimination of urine. These connections are certainly extraordinarily interesting for someone who recalls how the whole circulatory being of man is related to language, and how a connection arises between that which pushes itself into the circulatory system from the metabolic system and this particular manner of making sounds, of making consonants. Let us try to carry out a D. Now, attempt to do the same movement with the legs. You hop, and while hopping, you bend the legs somewhat at the knee. Here, try to get the patients to bend at the knees and hop, bending ever more strongly, and have them jump. Perhaps Frau Baumann will demonstrate the T for us. Here the corresponding movement will be a hop forward with an attempt at making knock knees. While stepping forward, you make the attempt to hop forward and outward, then form knock knees. That is what is to be carried out. Our first concern is to demonstrate these things. So we have D and T. When one carries out what we call the soft sound, one can remedy milder conditions. With what we call the hard sound, the more severe conditions of this sort. These sounds D and T are really like this. Of course, you must have the patients repeat them for several minutes until they are quite tired. In these things, it is really a matter of carrying the exercise out until one is tired. And when one carries them out to fatigue, the sounds D and T in particular are a force which works to strengthen the intestinal activity, particularly when that activity manifests itself in constipation. In this manner, one can counteract constipation in many cases. Such a matter is unquestionably evident to the person who knows the physiological connections between the speech organism, which takes up the movement in the course of learning to speak, and the system of the metabolism and limbs. Now perhaps you will be so good, Fräulein Wolfram, and demonstrate the G sound for us. Here it is a matter of trying again to hop forward in a similar manner while forming knock knees. It would be the same thing with the K sound, Frau Baumann. And now you must try to move forward with the legs spread out sharply, with the Q as well. But that is the same thing. Here in the case of G, as well as K and of Q, we have a movement which stimulates the forward motion, the inner mechanization of the intestine, which thus promotes the movement of the intestine itself. The difference in the physiological effect of D and T, G, K, and Q, is that in the case of D and T, the processing of the food itself is more affected, while with G, K, and Q, the effect is more on the forward motion of the food in the intestine when the intestine itself lags. Particularly important and therapeutically fruitful is the S. When you do the S sound, it is necessary to hop forward, keeping the legs continuously in the O form, and to do the S sound. Because one continually sets the legs down in this O shape, this actually has a very inward connection with the human digestive activity, and that is, with the metabolic activity as it works back upon the entire human organism. In this movement, we have something which we can have those children do who show an insufficient digestive activity, and who consequently have headaches, since this movement regulates, in particular, the formation of gas in the intestine. When this is not in order, when it is either insufficient or too strong, this movement in particular will have a most important effect. Then we have the F sound, Frau Baumann. We have to do here with something of a soul nature. Try to perform the jump in the following manner. You begin and try to go forward. In landing, you must come down strictly on the tips of the toes, however, and now bring the heels down. Once again, a jump onto the tips of the toes, then down onto the heels again. In the case of the V, it would be just the same. Here we have a movement which should be practiced when you find that urination is not in order. It has a stimulating effect on the passing of urine. When it is necessary to stimulate this, for whatever reason, here is the movement to be performed. It is, of course, entirely possible to combine the movements in the most varied manners. You will find in giving treatment that you will have to combine the one with the other, depending on the direction to be taken. If we do an R, Fräulein Wolfram, I must ask you please to do it in such a way that in stepping forward you always stretch distinctly. Then with the left foot thus, here the lecturer demonstrated the bending and stretching movement himself, put the weight on the foot. Stretch, and as you step forward, continuing in this manner to step on the foot with the legs bent, try to do the R. That would have to be developed in this manner. If this R is practiced with a person for a few minutes, one would have to practice it frequently during the day, however, then it is something which regulates the rhythm of evacuation, if that is not in order. That is something which works directly over into the rhythm of evacuation and regulates it. In observing the whole dynamics of the human being, it will be important to keep in view the connections which come to light arising out of the diagnosis, and do these movements not in a dilettante fashion, but in a manner suitable to the matter at hand. Now, an L, Frau Baumann. Here again, together with the effort to place the legs in the knock-kneed position and hop forward, draw together, now once again. It should be an effort to hop forward, too. The forward motion is absolutely necessary in such a case. This movement works especially strongly on the peristalsis, on the movement of the intestine itself. With this movement, you can also have the patient move backward in the same manner. He, she will experience much more difficulty in learning to do it, but it will have a significant effect in regulating the movement of the intestine itself, the peristalsis, as all these movements in fact work in a regulative manner out of the system of the limbs and the metabolism into what, in this context, is a dependency of the system of limbs and metabolism, or at least adjacent to it, that is into the circulation and into the respiratory movement as well. A very interesting letter is the H, which actually is attached to most vowels. Accompany the H in walking as follows. Try to stand with the legs together, to hop forward, and in the course of this hop forward, to spread the legs and strike the floor with the legs apart. You should always be moving forward. This is a movement which, I beg you to take notice, must be carried out absolutely slowly. In the case of the other movements, it is important to carry them out quickly. This movement, however, is to be carried out slowly, and there must be pauses for rest between each of the jumps as well. This must be taken into account with this movement, as it has a very strong effect on the regulation of intestinal activity in the area of transition from the stomach into the intestine. So when you notice that someone cannot get his food from the stomach into the intestine, it will be greatly to his advantage to perform this movement. But as I said, tranquilly, and standing still after each separate hop. Now we have the M, Frau Baumann. This M is to be made with the kibitz, peewit step. It is good to do one step with one leg, and the next with the other leg, forward and back. One can also do the peewit step backward and then with the other leg forward again. Readers aside, I am not sure what that word means. Peewit, P-E-E-W-I-T, peewit step. And he mentioned a word in italics, kibitz, K-I-B-I-T-Z. Again, readers aside, I'm not clear what that means. End of readers aside. This technique of doing the peewit step backward is something which one should really master. It is, in fact, a movement which it is important to study. For when the M is carried out in this form in movement, it acts to regulate the entire system of the metabolism and the limbs. It is extraordinarily important to practice it with the children during puberty. When this exercise with M is practiced at the time of sexual maturity, it will prove a strong regulator of over-assertive sexuality. It will regulate over-assertive sexuality when practiced during puberty. You must only have developed an eye for whether it should be practiced in this manner. E.Y.E. It is not without reason that the M was regarded as an especially important sound in the time when people still understood something of the inner content of the sounds. It is the sound which closes the OM syllable of the East. The OM syllable of the East is closed by M. Because the whole human being is in fact regulated through the system of the metabolism and the limbs by precisely this sound. So this movement is particularly regulatory. In early cultures, it was absolutely customary to have the younger people perform such movements in order to educate them to be corporally complete human beings, and at the same time, human beings exercising self-control. Then we have the N sound. The N sound is accompanied by a jump in which the knees are bent from the beginning. So one keeps the legs, the knees bent, and then jumps. That is a movement which greatly strengthens the intestinal activity, and in such a manner that it can be applied where there is a tendency to diarrhea. that can serve as a substantiation or as an indication of how one can see the effect of the system of movement on the metabolic system. That is something which you really only notice when you consider the connections between the system of movement and the metabolic system in the light of your knowledge of the threefold arrangement of the human organism. This threefold ordering of the human organism, in fact, sheds light on many things. In our present time, where knowledge of the soul consists almost solely of words, one can think out at length all sorts of exercises in which one believes one has taken the soul element into account. Or one can develop gymnastics in which one takes only the bodily physiology into consideration. One can talk round about at length on these matters. Without knowledge of the threefold ordering of the human organism, one will not attain any clarity. It was interesting, in fact, to have a physiologist of the present day here who listened to one of the introductions that I usually give at eurythmy performances, and then said eurythmy, and then saw eurythmy as well. Now, I normally say that in education, one will have to replace the sort of gymnastics that proceeds solely from physiology with this soul-filled sort of gymnastics. Thereupon the physiologist, who is also known as a very great authority in nutritional matters, said that for him it wasn't enough to say that one shouldn't overrate gymnastics. For him, gymnastics was no method of education at all, but a barbarism. Now, you see, behind something like this is hidden a very important symptom of the times. It is, on the one hand, just as correct to say that the gymnastics of today is usually one-sidedly conceived, since it is taken out of the physiology and anatomy of the organism alone, as it is at least one-sided, on the other hand, to say that gymnastics is a barbarism. Why? Because when one develops gymnastics out of the physiology of the body alone, it does become a barbarism. It is our materialistic education and civilization that first made a barbarism out of gymnastics. In the manner in which gymnastics is practiced today, it is a barbarism. And this conception of gymnastics is connected with some completely false notions, is it not? For example, people believe, although the experts don't believe it anymore, still many people believe, that if one has a person exert himself mentally and then allows him to recover, as they believe, in body afterward, that constitutes a proper recuperation. But that isn't true at all. If a person does arithmetic or gymnastics for an hour, he will become equally tired in reality. It makes no difference. That is known today, but people cannot properly judge how soul and spirit should be brought into gymnastics movements. How the movements carried out are to proceed from the human being as a whole. Gymnastics will have to be developed gradually, in such a way that what we are developing as artistic eurythmy can unite with what is developed as physiological gymnastics. One can make the transition from the eurythmical to the gymnastic quite well. It will only be necessary to see that this sort of eurythmy, which actually takes the part of a kind of soul-filled gymnastics in the lesson, is done with humor. Above all, it must be enjoyable for the children. It must give the children joy. That belongs to it. To teach eurythmy like a grumpy, dried-out schoolmaster would be something which could really not be done at all. Now we still have the sh, Fräulein Wolfram, when it is accompanied by a small jump, then a larger jump, a small jump, then again a larger jump, a smaller jump, a larger jump, then one has a movement with a strong effect in the sh as well, which is, reader's aside, sh I'm saying instead of sh, I'll say either one, end of reader's aside. However, it too must be carried out slowly. It is not necessary to slow the n movement down particularly, but with the h movement, m in the original stenogram was corrected to h in pencil, and the SH movement, it is essential to do them slowly, and in the case of the latter, to take a short rest after every three jumps, at the transition to the next series. In this way, a rhythm is brought into it as well. Short, long, short, and now one rests. Long, short, long, and now a rest. Short, long, short, now a rest. One has in this movement, which in the appropriate cases one can combine movements, of course, affects the beginning portions of the intestinal tract that pertains to the stomach. When someone has what is in itself such a weak digestion that the food remains lying in the stomach, I have drawn attention to similar matters on other occasions. That will also be particularly the case where the H movement is involved. With the SH movement, however, you have to notice, for example, whether stomach acidity easily occurs, and so on. Then the SH movement should be carried out. So you see, the consonants, as they are done eurythmically, are connected with the formation of man in a totally different manner from the eurythmical vowels. When we considered the doing of vowels in eurythmy, I had to draw your attention to the manner in which the inward, that which lies more to the interior, is related to movement. Here we have to do with the effect on the third member of the threefold organism. When applying what we discussed the day before yesterday in regard to the vowels, it would be good to have the patient sound the vowel of the exercise to be done, slowly, before the exercise as such is begun. So, without singing would be of less help in this case, he very simply intones the sound at length, ah, e. And when he has done this for a time, when he has sounded it out loud, you would have him carry out the movement for the vowel in question. When he has done that, you should try to call forth in him the impression that he hears the sound that he has just carried out, as if he heard it. You will find that in the present day, only very few people have the mental picture that they hear the sounds inwardly in a soul and spirit manner. So we have to tell him to enter into a state of soul such as if he were to hear the E. It is particularly important to understand this matter. Then, you see, when you have the patient speak the vowel, intone it, the organism as such feels as if the sound were being induced. If he then carries out the movement, it appears to be the result of the spoken sound. And then one listens. One intones the E, then does the movement that we have learned, and then in one's imagination imagines that one hears the E sounding. Then we have the calling forth of the E, that which arises through the movement of the E, the sounding of that which is moved, and the hearing of the sound once again. This is something which brings a great deal of life into this human etheric body, and in precisely those directions we have pointed out, it brings real life into the etheric body. In these matters, in these exercises, the intention is to bring movement into the human etheric body, to bring an inwardly regulated movement into the etheric activity of the human organism. It is particularly interesting to see how the movement, which as a movement of the intestine progresses from the back to the front, releases a movement in the etheric body which proceeds from back to front and then breaks on the abdominal wall. It does not actually break, but disappears. This latter movement is in most cases where the intestinal activity is not in order, in gross disorder as well. This activity which counters the physical movement will be aroused, for example, particularly by the R movement. Here there is a very lively vibrating from back to front. That is the element in the R movement, which affects the rhythm of evacuation in a very specific manner. It can also be used educationally, as the whole human organism is a unity and everything in it works together. If you were to survey children in school, for example, you would find amongst them some who can hardly pronounce an R, who are quite shocking in their pronunciation of the R. Of course, other factors can play in, and the matter may not be self-evident. Nevertheless, such children are always simultaneously candidates for becoming hardened physically. Hartleibigkeit. One does them a service, in fact, by doing something with them such as I showed you yesterday, the R movement, which affects the rhythm of evacuation positively. It is indeed possible to make use of these things in education. Here you only need to indicate. You must not go too far. The physician, however, can go much further, as he will find that specific symptoms naturally appear when the exercise is practiced for days and weeks. But he is, of course, in the position, by other means, to counter these symptoms, which quite justifiably appear. I want to point out that if the effect of the N movement, in the stenogram clearly M and in earlier editions N, a mistake in what was heard, readers aside there, or actually a parentheses. Let me read those parentheses. Let me read that sentence again more clearly. I want to point out that if the effect of the N movement, bracket, in the stenogram, clearly M, and in earlier editions, N, a mistake in what was heard, question mark, close bracket, were to become too predominant, you would only have to counteract it with the D movement, and you would nevertheless have achieved what was to be achieved. One can balance the one by means of the other. The only other thing I wish to say today is that I really do not want artistic eurythmy to be influenced in any way whatsoever by the discussion which must of course arise when eurythmy is considered as a discipline for health and therapy. I beg the artistic eurythmists to forget these things thoroughly when they practice artistic eurythmy, so that they are not confused by their thoughts on digestive activity when they are involved in artistic eurythmy. That would be most disconcerting. One must nevertheless be entirely clear that human art does have to do with the whole human being. It does not proceed from the head alone. That must naturally be kept in view, especially in the case of an art of movement. That is what I wanted to tell you today. In the following days, we will discuss more what has to do with human evolution, with reference to what comes to the fore after certain intervals of time, that is to say, what occurs at a later stage, at a later age, as the consequence of an exercise affecting the organism of the child. The end of Lecture 4.